Good morning and welcome to Market Minutes. I am Nandita Khemka. It's Monday, the 24th of November. Let's take a look at the cues that will shape trade today. The market snapped a two-day gaining streak on Friday, with all major indices closing in the red. The Nifty ended below the 26,100 mark, with 30 of its 50 constituents finishing lower. However, both the Nifty and Sensex managed to extend their winning run for a second straight week, even as the mid-cap index turned negative. The Nifty, Sensex and Nifty Bank rose about 1% each, while mid-cap saw a decline of nearly 1%, dragged down by Friday's sharp sell-off. Sectorally, real estate and metal stocks were the biggest underperformers, down 3-4% for the week, while IT stocks stood out as the top gainers, with the sectoral index rising 2% for the week. Among the performers on the Nifty last week, Max Healthcare, Eicher Motors, Bharti Airtel and Axis Bank posted solid gains, while Tata Motors, Tata Steel, Jio Financial and Adani Power were among the major laggards. In Friday's trade, Hindalco, Tata Steel, Bajaj Finance and NCL Tech led the losses, falling between 2-3%. Mid-cap underperformance continued, with market breadth firmly favouring declines. The NSE Advance Decline Ratio stood at 1:3. Among key movers, Grow closed in the green on Friday but off its intraday highs after a mixed set of quarterly results. Hindalco slipped 3% on reports of another fire incident at its Novelis plant. However, autos continued to see buying interest, with Maruti and Mahindra both rising around 1%. Meanwhile, the rupee ended at a record closing low of 89.48 against the dollar, marking its biggest single-day fall in 6 months, compared to Thursday's close of 88.71. In terms of fund flows, foreign institutional investors turned net sellers again after 2 days of buying, offloading equities worth over 1,766 crore rupees, while domestic institutional investors were net buyers to the tune of 3,160 crore rupees on Friday. Looking ahead, experts say the near-term trend for the Nifty remains positive, with the recent weakness likely forming a higher bottom around the 26,000-25,900 zone over the next few sessions. They expect a bounce from these support levels this week, with immediate resistance seen around 26,250-26,300. Let's take a quick check on global markets. Asian markets started the week on a positive note, taking cues from Wall Street's rebound and dovish commentary from the US Federal Reserve. New York Fed President John Williams suggested on Friday that a third rate cut this year could be on the table, saying that the labor market weakness now poses a bigger threat to the economy than inflation. The Fed's final policy meeting for 2025 is scheduled for December 9th and 10th, with the current target rate standing between 3.75 and 4%. Futures markets are now pricing in roughly a 70% chance of a quarter point rate cut, sharply higher than the 40% odds seen just a day earlier, according to the CME FedWatch tool. Across the Asia-Pacific region, South Korea's KOSPI led gains, rising more than 1%, while Japan's markets remained closed for a public holiday. US futures are trading higher as investors look to carry forward Friday's rebound into the Thanksgiving holiday week, hoping to recover some of the sharp losses that recently hit the artificial intelligence trade. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones surged nearly 500 points on Friday, while the S&P 500 and Nasdaq Composite climbed close to 1% each as investors cheered Fed's dovish tone. The remarks from John Williams reinforced expectations that the central bank is likely to deliver one more rate cut at its December meeting. That optimism came after a volatile session on Thursday, when the market gave up strong early gains following Nvidia's blockbuster earnings. The chipmaker's stock, which initially surged, ended the day down over 3%, dragging the broader indices lower and reigniting concerns that the Fed could delay further rate cuts. In the bond market, US Treasury yields slipped on Friday, with the 10-year yield falling over 4 basis points to around 4.06%, reflecting renewed expectations of a cut next month. Meanwhile, the Bureau of Labor Statistics added some uncertainty to the Fed's data-dependent approach, announcing the cancellation of the October Consumer Price Index release, while the long-delayed non-farm payrolls report showed stronger-than-expected job additions for September, but also a rise in the unemployment rate to 4.4%, the highest since October 2021. The US dollar strengthened through the week, holding near a six-month high, supported by safe haven demand. In commodities, gold prices steadied on Friday after falling more than 1% earlier in the session, as traders priced in the possibility of a December rate cut. Crude oil prices, however, extended losses for the fourth straight session amid optimism around a possible Russia-Ukraine peace deal and rising concerns over global demand. And in the crypto space, Bitcoin tumbled as much as 6% on Friday, briefly testing the $80,000 support level, as investors continued to move away from risk-on assets towards more defensive plays. Now let's shift focus to the stocks that could be in action today. Starting with TCS, the IT major has received an adverse ruling from the United States Court of Appeals in its long-running trade secrets dispute with Computer Sciences Corporation, now part of DXC Technology. The court upheld damages worth $194 million against TCS, but vacated the permanent injunction that had barred it from using certain CSE materials. The case has now been sent back to the district court in Texas for a reassessment of the injunction. The case dates to 2019, when CSE sued TCS alleging misappropriation of trade secrets. CSE claimed TCS gained improper access to CSE's licensed insurance software after Transamerica employees who had access to the system moved to TCS under a $2 billion outsourcing deal, enabling TCS to build a competing insurance platform. The IT bellwether has said that it is evaluating further legal remedies, including review and appeal before appropriate courts, and will vigorously defend its position. The company also said it will make necessary accounting provisions in line with applicable standards. Moving on to Tata Power, it will be in focus after the company signed commercial agreements with Bhutan's Druk Green Power Corporation to jointly develop the 1,125 megawatt Dorjilung hydropower project. Tata Power will hold 40% in the project, which carries a total cost of around 13,100 crore rupees and will be Bhutan's second largest hydropower venture. Meanwhile, Tata Chemicals has approved two major capacity expansion projects. The company will invest 135 crore rupees to boost soda ash production at its Mithapur plant and another 775 crore rupees to expand precipitated silica capacity at its Cuddalore facility. In the pharma space, Natco Pharma has received 7 procedural observations from the US FDA following an inspection of its Manali API unit. The company said it is confident of addressing all the issues raised. Similarly, Shilpa Medicare said the US FDA issued a Form 483 with 8 non-repeat observations after completing a 10-day inspection at its Unit 4 facility in Jadcherla, Telangana. Lupin also informed exchanges that the US FDA has completed its inspection of the company's Goa facility, issuing a Form 483 with 7 observations. HG Infra has emerged as the lowest bidder along with Kalpatru Projects International for a 1,415 crore metro project in Thane. The joint venture will design and construct a 20.5 kilometer elevated viaduct under the Thane Integral Ring Metro project. State-owned RVNL has also bagged a new order. It emerged as the lowest bidder for a 181 crore rupee northern railway project involving upgrades to the traction system across 184 kilometers in the Lucknow division. In the hospitality space, Lemon Tree Hotels announced the signing of a new property under the Keys Select brand in Bhopal, expanding its footprint in Madhya Pradesh. Sandur Manganese said it has received the maximum permissible annual production allocation for one of its mining leases for the Supreme Court-appointed monitoring committee, paving the way for higher production. Moving on to our Voice of the Day segment, here is market veteran Sunil Subramaniam on what led to the sharp fall in rupee on Friday and what's the way forward from here. Let's take a listen.
So I think it started off with the trade deficit numbers coming in much wider than expected, which in turn was driven by enormous gold imports by the citizens of the country. So I think the trade deficit number came in wider. The second is that the U.S., in terms of the fact that there's no rate cut likely in December, is what Mr. Powell indicated, which means that in the absence of data there, as you mentioned in your run-up, that the dollar has started strengthening. That's the second factor. And the third factor there, I think that there is a little bit of apprehension in terms of the fact that the sanction on the Russian oil, those two companies, right? To what extent is oil prices going to be impacted by that? It's currently not showing oil is on a weakening trend, but there is a little bit of a fear that with that, the Russian oil is likely to be lying in tankers in the seas without being able to be sold. So will that then, as a crude, is an important import for India? But I would all put this all as supporting factors. I think the single biggest factor for a fall today is a statement by the RBI governor that they don't target a level for the rupee. So when he's saying, which means that effectively he's allowing the rupee to find its level, and they see a basket, they have a weighted average basket of, you know, 7 or 8 countries in the shorter term, but about 30-40 countries in a medium term. So when he says that I'm not targeting the rupee in a particular band, that means that a dollar strengthening must lead to a rupee weakening. So the market participants reacted to that statement saying, hey, if RBI is not supporting, then we should do that. Right? And overarchingly, remember one thing. The rupee weakened to date, probably is one of the worst currencies, was also because of the fact of the FII outflows, which have been very strong. And let's face it, that the exchange rate is a key defensive weapon against the tariffs. So allowing the rupee to weaken is also a tactic to ease the burden on the tariff.
And before we wrap up, Prime Minister Narendra Modi met Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Johannesburg, pushing to deepen India's trade and strategic ties. With Canada, both sides set a $50 billion trade target by 2030 and agreed to begin CEPA negotiations while also expanding cooperation in defence, space and AI. With Italy, India launched a new joint initiative to counter terror financing and discussed closer collaboration in trade, technology and security. That's all we have for you on Market Minutes today. Stay tuned to moneycontrol.com for all the latest news and updates through the day. Thanks for listening and have a great trading day.